With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Bree Ripley. The drone pilot, allegedly responsible for temporarily shutting down aerial firefighting operations on the Rice Ridge Fire near Seeley Lake Wednesday, is now the subject of a federal investigation. Edward O'Brien reports.
The U.S. Forest Service is working in conjunction with the Federal Aviation Administration and U.S. Department of Justice to determine if charges are warranted. Rice Ridge Fire spokesman Mark DiGregorio says law enforcement takes these cases very seriously.
No, we're done messing around with it, quite honestly.
It's illegal to fly drones in closed airspaces around fires. Authorities say people could get killed if one of the machines crashed into a helicopter rotor or a low-flying airplane's engine. DiGregorio says no one now has an excuse to behave so recklessly.
There's been a campaign now for over 2 years to inform people it's illegal to fly a drone in a fire traffic area. You know, so now it's time to start enforcing it, and that's what we're doing.
He says Wednesday's drone incursion stalled aerial firefighting operations over the Rice Ridge Fire for 15 to 20 minutes.
For the firefighters, it's frustrating because we're trying to protect people's lives and property. And when you have somebody that does something like that for their own purposes, it's kind of a selfish thing to do. And then on the other hand, it puts other people at risk.
A Forest Service law enforcement officer and a Missoula County Sheriff's deputy responded to Wednesday's drone incident in Seeley Lake. No arrests were made, but a joint federal investigation is now underway. Violators could face stiff fines and penalties. According to the National Interagency Fire Center, there have been at least 18 public drone incursions nationally this fire season, most of which resulted in the temporary shutdown of aerial firefighting efforts. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Donations of hay are pouring in from around the region to help ranchers in eastern Montana who are impacted by wildfires. As Kay Erickson reports, the challenge is getting those donations to individual ranchers.
Jana Hans in Circle is coordinating the donation efforts.
And we're looking for maybe truckers to volunteer at least their time, possibly time and fuel, depending on, you know, their situation. Whatever they could give us would be helpful.
Hans has donations of up to 50 round bales of hay at different locations around western Montana ready to be hauled if she can find volunteer truckers willing to take them directly to the wildfire-affected ranchers.
Sometimes entails anywhere from a mile to 25 miles off the highway. I'm trying to coordinate that with the truckers that are willing to go there. Some are not, which is, I understand that as well.
Hans, who works at Redwater Valley Bank in Circle, will also accept cash donations for those who want to help offset the cost of fuel. For more information, go to our website, ypradio.org. Kay Erickson, YPR News.
More than a third of the entire state of Montana is now in a severe, extreme, or exceptional drought after another week with little to no rainfall. That's according to a report released today by the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's U.S. Drought Monitor. Just 3 months ago, there were no drought areas at all. Ann Schwend of the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation called it a flash drought before a legislative committee this week. The Drought Monitor estimates that 12% of the state, most of northeastern Montana, is in exceptional drought, which is the top end of the scale. That means widespread crop and pasture losses and water shortage emergencies. A federal appeals court in Helena has blocked the deportation of a Mexican man who recently settled a lawsuit over claims that he was sexually assaulted in an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in Jefferson County. Nate Hedgie has more.
Attorney Shad Hawk says the temporary stay granted Wednesday evening will remain in effect until the court issues a judgment.
It could actually take many months to make any progress on a case like this with the Ninth Circuit. They have such a backlog of cases.
Hawk says Audemio Orozco Ramirez was arrested Wednesday morning during a check-in with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE. He says ICE officials intended to put his client on a plane to Mexico within days, but were stopped by the temporary block. Hawk says his client has now been moved to a detention facility in Utah.
It really makes no sense whatsoever to keep him in detention in Utah for many, many months while this process works out. So we're going to ask that immigration release him and allow him to return it to his 7 children.
In a statement released Thursday, Republican Senator Steve Daines remarked on the now-blocked deportation.
We cannot reward unlawful behavior because doing so will only encourage more people to enter our country illegally. We must secure our border, strengthen and enforce our current laws, and thoroughly scrutinize potential immigrants.
Orozco Ramirez lived in Montana for over 2 decades. In 2013, he was arrested during a traffic stop and placed in custody after immigration officials determined he entered the country illegally. Orozco Ramirez says he was then sexually assaulted while in ICE's custody at a Jefferson County jail. Hawk says video of that sexual assault was deleted.
There's no adequate explanation for the missing footage. Their explanation for why there is no footage during the night in question was because they claimed motion sensors made the cameras turn off, but we were able to show without a doubt that the video cuts out while there's motion.
Late last year, Orozco Ramirez agreed to a $125,000 settlement with the county. And Hawk says there's a way for Orozco Ramirez to be here legally. He's eligible for a special visa intended for people who are victims of certain crimes.
All kinds of people are granted U visas, and they may have entered the country illegally at first, but the U visa nevertheless provides the process for them to stay here.
However, Hawk says ICE has not responded to his client's visa certification request, and it's been almost 2 years since they filed it. A spokesperson for Senator Daines says he has, quote, confidence in ICE and defers questions on the case to them. But when YPR contacted ICE, they said no comment. Republican Congressman Greg Gianforte and Democratic Senator John Tester were unable to respond to YPR's requests for a comment before deadline. In Bozeman, I'm Nate Hedgie, YPR News.
Low oil prices and the high cost of extracting Canadian oil are casting new doubts on the Keystone XL pipeline, as project developer TransCanada faces its final regulatory hurdle in Nebraska. President Donald Trump revived the pipeline after 9 years of protests, lawsuits, and political wrangling that saw the Obama administration reject it. Now, the economics of the project have worsened. Shippers have also found other ways to transport oil. Project opponents say they're not letting their guard down and will continue to protest. Officials with Calgary-based TransCanada will try to persuade the Nebraska Public Service Commission to approve the pipeline during a series of hearings that start Monday. The company says it will decide whether to proceed with the pipeline in late November or early December. A California man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison for blackmailing 2 14-year-old Wyoming girls into sending him nude pictures on Snapchat. The girls told investigators in November that a person added them on the picture messaging phone app and said he had pictures of them naked and that he would release them to family and friends if the girls did not comply with his requests. The girls said they were scared into taking sexually explicit pictures for weeks before a Facebook user contacted them, saying they too were a victim. But it turned out that user was the same person controlling the Snapchat account. Wyoming Division of Criminal Investigation agents determined the suspect to be 21-year-old Chase McKay Stagner, who eventually took a plea deal for 2 charges of producing child pornography. Stagner will have to serve 15 years of supervised probation after 15 years in prison. This is YPR News.